Washington Week. I'm John Meyer, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In Washington this week, the Watergate cover-up trial continued. Jed Duval reports.
This was the week the Watergate cover-up jury heard from a pair of acknowledged liars, Howard Hunt and Jeb Magruder, men who put their hands on the Bible and swore that they had lied but were now telling the truth. Both said they lied for a purpose, to cover the truth, to protect themselves and others. Each told why he had changed his mind to walk the straight and narrow. Hunt, because he heard the White House transcripts earlier this year and found that, to his mind, those in the White House didn't deserve his loyalty. Magruder broke much earlier, a year earlier, when he discovered others were about to break and that James McCord already had. Much of the week was spent trying to shake these two from their stories, that which they now insist is the truth. Their testimony damaged the defendants, some more than others. The narrative of neither man was substantially changed in the 5 days. Their believability among the jurors is, of course, strictly a matter for those men and women. Jed Duval, CBS News, Washington.
The Washington Week continues after this message.
The night, Tuesday, May 28th, 1974. The place, the Pantages Theater in Hollywood. The occasion, the Emmy Awards. The awards given people and programs voted best on television for the year. So far, one program has won 8 coveted Emmys. The autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, sponsored by Xerox. It told the story of a courageous woman who lived 110 incredible years from slave quarters to the civil rights movement. Now, another Emmy Award is about to be presented.
The winner for Actress of the Year in a special goes to Miss Cicely Tyson.
Xerox is proud to again present the winner of 9 Emmy Awards, the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, starring Cicely Tyson, on CBS television this Sunday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., 6:30 Central Time.
Washington this week saw John Sawhill fired as head of the Federal Energy Administration. As observers here see it, Sawhill was ousted because his independent attitude antagonized too many people in the administration, particularly Interior Secretary Rogers Morton, head of the new Energy Resources Council.
I've decided that somebody else with a different style would serve this council better. It's simply a question of building an organization that functions smoothly together.
Sawhill himself had this comment.
I'm not really a politician, and so it's been difficult for me to know whether something was politically popular or politically not popular. Frankly, I've always tried very hard to speak out openly and honestly for the things that I believed in, and maybe I haven't taken the politics of the situation enough into account.
As John Sawhill quit as energy chief, Nelson Rockefeller this week found his vice presidential nomination in increasing difficulty. Connie Chung reports.
This week, Rockefeller released a new list of loans he made to friends and former public officials amid growing concern on Capitol Hill about his wealth. The list, totaling more than $500,000, brought the total of loans and gifts he's made in the last 17 years to more than $2 million. House Judiciary Committee members took a day off from election campaigning to sit in on a briefing of the FBI's 2,300-page report on Rockefeller. Afterwards, members told CBS News that witnesses interviewed by the FBI gave conflicting information about the Goldberg book, the derogatory biography about Arthur Goldberg, which was financed by Rockefeller's brother. Nelson Rockefeller has publicly taken full responsibility for the book. Meanwhile, congressional committees are investigating if Rockefeller had any connection with other critical books about Senator Barry Goldwater and former Treasury Secretary John Connolly. Rockefeller denied any involvement. Some members think Rockefeller is in trouble. Many say he has a 50-50 chance of winning confirmation. By week's end, Judiciary Chairman Peter Rodino said his hearings might not begin until late November, which could push consideration of Rockefeller's nomination to next year. Connie Chung, CBS News, Washington.
A busy week for the President of the United States. That story after this message.
There are two ways to beat the high price of home heating fuel this winter. Wear more clothes or use less fuel. Hi, Pat Summerall here with True Value Hardware Store's way to help you use less fuel. Mecklenburg Duncan door seals. They keep cold air out, so the furnace can use less fuel to provide the same amount of heat. Their vinyl parts stay flexible even in the cold, so they form a tight seal. Seal-O-Matic door bottoms, for instance, with flexible vinyl bulbs that automatically raise to clear a rug, then lower to make a tight seal. And door seals for garages, too, because a lot of cold air can come through the garage and into your home. They seal the tops and sides of overhead doors. True Value Hardware stores have Macklenburg Duncan's Vina Jam door kit, too. It seals around three sides, the sides and the top of doors up to 3 by 7 feet. Macklenburg Duncan door seals. Just a few of the values at participating True Value Hardware stores. Check the Yellow Pages.
With Congressional Election Day fast approaching, President Ford this week went campaigning again on behalf of Republican candidates. On Tuesday, there was a day-long visit to his hometown, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then Thursday, he was off on a final 3-day whirlwind tour that took him to Iowa, California, Oregon, Utah, Colorado, and Kansas. CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports.
For a president who enjoys the Michigan fight song more than Hail to the Chief, campaigning clearly is fun. Gerald Ford will have covered almost 17,000 miles politicking in 20 states by the time he returns to the White House from this final campaign swing. In general, his theme has been to stop inflation by voting Republican and throwing out the big spending Democrats. He also struck out frequently at a favorite Republican target, big government, and for a brief time, President Ford flirted aloud with the thought that voting for Democrats would endanger world peace. But that brought such bad reactions that this president, who does not really like to make enemies anyway, even political enemies, quickly went back to a safer, softer line. Support your nation's foreign policy by voting Republican. With Republicans in deep trouble almost everywhere this year because of Watergate and the faltering economy and general voter apathy, it's hard to say just how much Gerald Ford's campaigning has helped. In a few places, it may have stirred the voters enough to reverse the general trend against Republicans. But even if he has not changed many votes, President Ford has tried. In the old American tradition, he has done his best for his party and enjoyed doing it. Now it's back to reality in the White House. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, campaigning with the president.
On Friday, the president took time from his West Coast campaign to spend a few minutes at the hospital bedside of former President Nixon. Afterward, Mr. Ford told reporters,
"The president was very alert. He was very interested, but it was very obvious to me that he had been very, very ill, but he showed a great deal of strength mentally and I think physically in meeting this very serious challenge."
Before leaving Washington this week, President Ford defended his economic program as still sound, despite claims the nation had entered a recession.
"Whether it's a recession or not a recession is immaterial. We have problems. The plan I submitted is aimed at solving those problems. And therefore, I really don't care what the name is. We want solutions."
But the economic bad news kept coming. The unemployment rate rose to 6%, while new factory orders dropped, and prices of raw farm products jumped 4% in a month. The administration hastily called a conference on high food prices, and Attorney General Saxby said Congress would be asked to increase the penalty for price fixing.
"There's a suspicion in this country that there are antitrust violations in the high cost of food. We're not sure of this, but we're investigating every aspect of it."
If the Justice Department has its way, price fixing would become a felony. One of the first targets could be the sugar industry. Treasury Secretary Simon this week announced public hearings to see if sugar refiners are reaping undue profits. The Washington Week is produced by Mary Yates. I'm John Meyer, CBS News.